Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Corporate Vice President of Developer Services, Brian Harry.
All right, thank you very much. So we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about DevOps. As developers, we all share a lot of similar problems. Our customers want more from us, they want it faster, and they want it higher quality. We lived through the first generation of Agile, where we learned to deliver software in small, shippable increments. And then we hit the wall that we couldn't actually deliver that to our customers, because all of the processes that allowed us to get it into the customer hands had too much friction in them. So enter the era of DevOps, where we're learning that we need to rethink sort of all of the aspects of how we deliver software, how we build it, how we test it, how we deploy it, configure it, monitor it, and interact with our customers and our operations team. Sorry. Where's the clicker? Thank you. Thanks. And at the same time that all of this is happening, the technology landscape is dramatically shifting. There are lots of platforms we need to think about, and there are new technology stacks evolving, new frameworks to build applications almost weekly, it seems like. And each of them come with a set of tools optimizing for doing development in that environment. And we want a set of tooling to sort of manage our end-to-end DevOps process to help us achieve the agility and the speed that we want, but at the same time, we want to be able to use tools that are optimized for the technology stack that we're using and the processes that we use. So a little over a year ago, we announced the beginning of a journey, which was to open up Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Online with web standards using REST, OAuth, and service hooks. Today, I'm announcing the next step in that journey that we call Visual Studio Team Services Extensions. This goes above and beyond what you can do with sort of plumbing and API capabilities, and enables you to integrate your user experience so that I can actually optimize the flow for my developers. So let's look at the kind of thing that you'll be able to do. All right, so I'm going to start by just showing you a simple extension. So this one was built, this is an open source project built by one of our early adopters, and he wanted to have a better way to visualize work items and dependencies. So he built an extension that added a simple menu item to work items called Visualize. Visualize pulls up a graphical representation of that work item and allows me to then explore that graph. So if I didn't tell you, you wouldn't know that this wasn't a part of Visual Studio Team Services, but it's not. It has nothing to do with Visual Studio Team Services. There's nothing deployed in our servers to support this. This is an open source project that someone wrote. Clearly, you can see they've added a menu item. They've been able to get the context when the user clicks on that menu item to know what work item you're on. They can then use the REST APIs using on your behalf to go access the other work items, render, and then have provide an ability for the user to interact with that. So this is kind of the rich capabilities that are in Visual Studio Team Services extensions. So let's move on to another one and talk about one that we've built. And in general, you can expect more and more of our stuff to be showing up as extensions. So for a long time, one of the top customer requests has been for a package management service built into Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Team Services. So today I'm announcing public preview of a new NuGet package management service built in that provides you the ability to publish and deploy or publish, manage, and consume your NuGet packages across your organization. And rather than do this the way we might have done it in the past, which is to build it as an inherent part of the service, we built it as an extension. use a microservice backend. The team runs entirely independently. The servers that run the package manager are completely different than the rest of the team services servers. So let's go look at what that might look like. So there's a new shopping cart on the or shopping bag on the toolbar here. And let's go look at my extensions. So I've got a set of extensions installed in my account. You'll see one of them is a work item visualization, which I just showed you. And we've got a new marketplace that anyone can publish extensions to. I can go and find and install them into my account. We'll see that one of the featured extensions is package management. So I click it, I can read about it, follow links to learn more, and ultimately choose to install it. There we go. I pick what account that I want to install it into. And done. That's the entire installation process. I just need to go back, refresh my browser, and we'll now see that a package tab has showed up. So this shows another thing that extensions can do. They can add hubs into the experience. When I click on the package tab, we'll see that it takes over that full hub and provides all of my NuGet package management experience. Over here, I have a set of feeds. I can easily create new feeds. I can share them only with my team or broadly within my organization. I can have as many feeds as I want. I can publish packages, either open source packages that I consume and I want to have a private feed of, or packages that I create and I want to share across my organization. I can learn about and update those packages very easily. We've also got build tasks to be able to consume, package, and publish. So this is an extension that we've built. And again, it's built completely separately using just our public extensibility mechanisms. And again, you would have no idea that this just wasn't a part of the Visual Studio Team Services product. Anyone could have built this extension. It didn't have to be us. So I've showed you an open source one. I've showed you one we built. Another very important part of, let's go back to slides. Another very important part is our partner ecosystem. We've got a bunch of partners who work with us to build a great DevOps solution. And another very common request that we've had is the ability to do time tracking, time sheeting, keep track of what people are spending their time on, report on that, et cetera. We've never gotten around to building it, but there have been a number of good solutions built by partners. But they all suffer from the fact that they're separate experiences. They're not integrated into the developer or the project manager experience. You have to go to another UI to do your time tracking. And of course, what does that mean? It means nobody does it, right? So you need to be able to integrate it into the flow. So we've worked with TFS Time Tracker. That's a great time tracking tool. It's been around for a while. To add a new extension for time tracking. I'd like to invite up Mark Schiffler from Berichthaus to come and talk about TFS Time Tracker.
Hello, Brian.
Great to see you, Mark.
Thanks. It's awesome to be here.
So tell us about TFS Time Tracker.
Well, basically, as the name indicates, TFS Time Tracker is all about time recording on work items in Visual Studio Team Services. So it allows teams to have a close eye to their efficiency and to do professional reporting. And the best thing is, it's totally integrated into Visual Studio Team Services.
Cool. So what was it like? How hard was it to build it as an extension?
Well, basically, as the extension model of Visual Studio Team Services is based on open standards and web services, it was not so hard to access data. But what really impressed us is the ability to integrate really into the interface. So it's not only looking like a part of Visual Studio Team Services, it's really behaving like built-in. So that allowed us to do really some great things that we had in mind. And basically, you start by just doing some HTML and JavaScript and register a provider and upload, and it starts working. So it's really awesome.
Very cool. Why don't you show it to us? We'd love to see it.
Sure thing. So one of the things that we focus on is really the life of a developer. We want to make the developer himself successful, and we respect his workflows and his processes. So we try to have that also here in our application. So when a developer starts working, he typically, the first thing he's doing, he's open up the work item to check what information is around here. Yeah. So when he has done reading what he needs to do here, we have added here a button. He sees already the total of this, and he has a button to start tracking. That's all what he needs to do. You see our Windows desktop client of TFS Time Tracker is appearing here. And it starts tracking immediately on that item. And it reports the times back to the system. And even more, fields like the completed work or the remaining time are updated automatically. So things that depend on that, like the burn down, are always in a perfect shape. But there's more. I guess you know these typical situations in a daily stand-up or in a review. When you need to get some information about a PBI or Epic feature, when you ask yourself, how much time have we spent on that? That's the easy one. Or how fast have we been in relation to the effort? Or who has done what? And you find information, you find answers to that question directly here in the work item form. We have added an additional tab to this PBI work item form, and you see here instantly this information. You see the total, you see the pace. We call pace the ratio between the effort that you have estimated in the beginning and the time that you really spend on it. And you see here the work items, the child work items, and you see the team members that have worked on that. So you get all this information at hand to make good decisions about this Epic or feature or PBI. And there's even more. We have added also here a hub, which gives you a full set of management features that you need, such as the maintenance of your own times. If you're a developer, you see that here in the My Times page, or the Times Explorer, which gives a set of tools to the manager, such as import, export, bulk assignments to budgets, whether budgets and approval is upcoming very soon. And you can also make some analytics like drill down, filtering, sorting, all that is here. So, let me finish by saying we have also a built-in API, so you can build an extension to this extension if you like. And if you have, as a company, have existing services, you can easily integrate into your existing services and can proceed with the data you found here. Yeah, and it's available in the marketplace, so check it out.
Great. Thank you a lot, Mark. I appreciate it. So as Mark said, extensions are just HTML and JavaScript code that you write and you upload into our marketplace. They use our REST APIs and our extension points, but there's no magic. There's nothing special. They're super easy to build. So, you know, I've just scratched the surface on a few of the things, a few of the extensions that we have. We have dozens of them in the marketplace already. We've been working with a bunch of different partners to bring them together. I think over the next several months it will explode with lots more now that this is announced and available for people to start building. I wanted to highlight a few things about the marketplace. So there's a new marketplace, marketplace.visualstudio.com. It includes the team services extensions I've been talking about, also all the Visual Studio extensions that are in the Visual Studio Gallery, and the VS Code extensions that Eric Gamma talked about earlier. I also wanted to highlight a few of the partners we've been working with to bring more extensions that I think bring a lot of value. I can't bring all of them up on stage to talk about it, but I think there are some great ones. You know, let's talk about testing. Testing is an incredibly important part of any DevOps process. And it's hard to do, particularly to test the variety of configurations that you need to test. This is particularly true in the devices space. There are thousands of devices and combinations of devices and operating systems that you want to be able to validate against. So we've partnered with people like Sauce Labs, who have a great cloud device testing, and they've got a web server testing service. They run in the cloud. You're able to upload your app and run your tests on their cloud. We've done a similar integration with Perfecto Mobile, which we're going to show you in a minute. We've also worked with Xamarin with their test cloud. So a great set of choices for being able to run automated device testing and web app testing in the cloud as part of your DevOps process. We've also partnered with SOSTA to provide a great load testing integration so that you can do load test as part of your release pipeline. Let's talk about build. Build is another incredibly important area. People like to, you know, cloud services are incredibly useful, particularly for things like your CI builds, your scheduled builds, your gated builds, things like that. We've had a build service as part of Visual Studio Online and now Visual Studio Team Services for a good while, but we haven't had a solution for Mac developers who want to be able to build their, do CI builds or CD builds in the cloud. So we've partnered with Mac and Cloud, one of the largest Mac hosters, to provide an extension that provides a turnkey solution to be able to do your VSTS builds in the cloud on a Mac. We also partnered with CloudBees to create a great solution for Jenkins. So if you use Jenkins, maybe with your Java code, you're able to hook them up very easily to our CI/CD pipeline. And the last thing I want to talk about is requirements. So we've had a partner that we've worked with for a good while now called eDevTech that has two great products, one called Smart Office for sort of agile requirements management, and a product called Integrate for more holistic formal requirements management. They've kind of been our go-to partner for requirements management for a good while. And we've worked with them to create an offer for all Visual Studio Enterprise users to get a free license to both of those products. So that's super exciting. All right, so I've showed you a bunch of extensions. Now what I'd like to do is invite Donovan Brown to come up, and he is going to show us how Visual Studio Team Services plus a bunch of the extensions that I've shown you work together to create an awesome DevOps experience, both for devices and services.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Donovan.
With the power of the extensions that Brian just announced, we can not only build your mobile applications, but we can actually test them automatically against physical hardware. This isn't a simulator, this isn't an emulator, this is actually taking your code, uploading it to the Perfecto mobile cloud, and actually executing your code on physical devices. What's amazing about the way that the Perfecto mobile extension works is that the test results are actually surfaced in our build summary. So you don't have to go somewhere else to find out how your test actually executed. As I showed you earlier, we still have our Hockey app extension here. So once our tests are successful, we can then take that app and put it on the Hockey app so our beta testers can get access to it. So if I were to go back and look at a past build, what I'll be able to see right here in my build summary is basically this heads-up display showing us how many tests were executed, how many new tests were introduced with this particular test run, how many of those tests are failing, and how many of those are new failures, failures that did not exist before but are now in our code base. I get to see exactly what percentage of our code is actually passing and failing, and even to be able to tell me that I'm running my test a little faster than I was before. Maybe I've made some performance improvements in my application that are actually being reflected in my test results as well. Now, this is great, but sometimes I need a little bit more information. And directly from the test tab, I can actually get that. We actually identify which of these test failures are new and which ones of those are previous. We even let you know what build that test originally started failing in. So I can go back and look at the chain sets that I actually checked in that caused that test to start failing. And I can see that it's still failing in our current build as well. Simply checking on one of these items here allows me to see a rich call stack of exactly what was happening and have associated information to it right here on the screen. Let's take a look at this check appointment. Currently, I can see exactly what's going on. And if I wanted to, without even leaving this screen, I can go ahead and say, I think I would like to create a bug against that. The bug that gets produced is already populated with information from Perfecto Mobile about the status of my code when it actually failed this particular test. I can use this information to give to our developers so they can quickly diagnose what's going on in the code and hopefully get a fix. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and save and close this. And immediately, if I go back down to the bottom, I can see that it's associated that bug to this particular failure so that my team always has information to go back and find it. We even associate what build that bug was actually filed against this particular test case. Now, Perfecto Mobile did a great job. Not only do they surface this information directly in our summary, but they also give us rich diagnostics or data, detailed information from our artifacts tab. So if I were to go and explore my artifacts, I would actually see something in there that looked a lot like this. This is the information that Perfecto Mobile was collecting when it executed my test against a physical iPhone or a physical Android device. I want to drive that home. These are not simulated instances. These are physical devices in the cloud ready to do your bidding. I actually have a video of the application being executed. If I scroll down, I can see every action I took against that device and even have a screenshot of how my application performed as it was being tested by Perfecto Mobile. Now, I've been developing code for a really long time. I'm a little older than I look. So I've been slinging code for about 20 years, and I will not go fix a piece of code unless I can actually reprobe the problem. So great, I'm glad you gave me all this information. You've given me a place in my code that I can go off and look at, but I want to be able to reproduce this as well. I'm honored that Brian allowed me to make this announcement that today we have a public preview of our new exploratory testing that is now completely web-based. It's an extension inside of Chrome, which now gives you exploratory testing on every platform. Because we've partnered with Perfecto Mobile, we've actually extended just our exploratory testing from web to also to device as well. So if I switch over to this tab here, what you're going to see is that I have a Perfecto Mobile client of an iOS device. And over here, I have a plugin that comes from us that is our exploratory testing extension. Works in Chrome, works on every platform that you want it to. You can do all the testing you want with your web app. And because we partner with the Perfecto Mobile, we can do it on mobile as well. So let me go in and explore this application and see if I can duplicate the problem that I saw in the, when we were actually running it on our physical device or running it through our automated testing. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go ahead and start our patient app. As we saw before, because this is actually being hosted by Hockey App, I'm being notified that there's actually a newer version. But for this demo, I don't need it. So I'm going to go ahead and click on ignore. And then I'm going to start using my application. Exploratory testing is just going around unscripted and trying to break the application. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a shortcut because I believe I know for a fact that this is going to crash my app. Voila. So when this happens, I now want to collect this information so that I can share it with my developers so they can go see what happens. And with our exploratory testing, I can do just that. So I'm going to go ahead and restart the application. And while that's actually loading back up, I'm going to go back to our exploratory testing here, and I'm going to use our screen capture feature. What this feature is going to allow me to do is capture a portion of the screen. Not only can I capture it, but I can actually come over here and I can annotate this information with an arrow saying this is where I clicked, and even be able to give a little bit of text context saying that the cow crashes the app. Now I can go ahead and store this, and I can continue exploring my application should I want to. But at this point, I think I'd like to go ahead and just file a bug. When I go to file a bug, the screen captures that I've already taken are actually in the bug itself. It's also keeping a log of the actions that I've taken against the device. All this information gets stored with the bug when I go ahead and publish it. So let me go ahead and just type cow crashes. And then I'm going to go ahead and save this. Saving this bug inside of our exploratory testing actually sends it back to Visual Studio Team Services. Now with that bug there, Brian's going to come back on stage and actually show us where that bug gets serviced on the website. Thanks, guys. My pleasure.
All right, so Donovan has filed a bug, and we're a Kanban team, and I kind of want to look at that and figure out what to do with that bug. So I'm going to talk a little bit about our Agile project management capabilities and work we've been doing in this area. And I wanted to start with just talking about our dashboards. We just introduced a new dashboard capability, which is getting rave reviews from our early adopters. So here's an example dashboard. A dashboard basically allows you to choose from a catalog of widgets and create a view that is what you want to share with your team and your stakeholders. So this might be an example of an overview dashboard that includes things like who the team is, who my stakeholders are, information about my app, some work progress. I've also created a quality dashboard that allows me, gives me information like what my build health is, how I'm doing on my test plan, my test pass rates, et cetera. So a really nice visual way to share information about your app and the status of your project. Okay, so let's move on to my Kanban board because I need to deal with that bug that Donovan just created. So I see it right here. Let's move it up to the top. And fine, I've now moved it to the top, but I've got a lot of work on this board and it could get lost pretty easily in all of this work. So I somehow want to set this aside, separate this out as something that I want the team to focus on urgently, because this could be a very serious issue that we need to go fix. So I'm going to, in Kanban style, add another swim lane, which I'm going to call Expedite. Which creates a new lane in which I can manage kind of the high priority work. And my team knows that anything that's in this lane is super important and needs to be dealt with immediately. Now, one other thing I want to show you is another common request for our online product has been the ability to customize work items. We've had that in our on-premises product for a long time, but it's not a capability we've had in VS Online. So, starting now, we are introducing the beginnings of a process customization experience with the ability to add fields to work items. So here I'm going to click Customize, and it's going to take me to the process customization experience where I've got a list of my work item types. So here's my bug work item type and the fields. And I can very easily create a new field. Maybe I'm going to call it bug origin is a field that I want to track, and I'm going to say we'll put it in the build group on the form. Click add field and go back and refresh the browser. And now I've got a bug origin field that I can say, all right, that was found with automated device testing. So a super easy way to be able to add new fields to your work item forms. Now, I now need to go ahead and get Donovan to go look at this bug, because this may be something serious. So I'm going to assign it to Donovan and invite him to come back up and investigate this bug for me and see if this is something we need to fix.
One more. Let's do this. All right. You guys as tired as I am? All right, so let me go ahead and switch over to the screen that I'd like, and I think I'm going to take this one here. So we have this extension from HockeyApp, and it not only added a cool task that allows us to integrate with HockeyApp, but it also added this widget to the dashboards that Brian introduced to us earlier. Now, what this is going to allow me to do is go to the crash reports, because when I get a bug, I'm kind of curious. Are my users already experiencing this? Is this something that's been around and we've just been ignoring it, or is this a new incident? What I can do is simply click on crash reports. What that's going to do is immediately take me to the dashboard inside of HockeyApp for that particular application that I was working on. As we can see, on November 3rd, we started having issues. Before then, everything was great. And we've had quite a few issues, as you can see, as the days go on. If I use this chart at the bottom, I can see that I have 7 unresolved issues here. I can go down even further and see that there's 18 unresolved tests themselves. So these are crashes, and these are called crash groups, so we can group up similar crashes together so that you're not inundated with a ton of data. We can also go back in and look at the different versions of my application. So I can start to see, when did we really start having trouble? Clearly, it was in version 3. Version 3 has 13 reported crashes against it. So this information can kind of help me go figure out what branch I need to look at, what repo I might need to go look at, because version 3 is the one that's giving us a lot of trouble. So what I want to be able to do from this user interface here is go back in and say, okay, let's look at the details of one of these crashes. So when I do that, I'm actually brought here where I can actually see a full stack trace of what's going on with this application. Now, knowing the application like I do, that MS SQL client kind of stands out. I don't use that very often, so I bet you that'd be a great way for me to find the piece of code that I need to go back in and fix. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and copy that. Now, many of you have probably seen us demo code search in the past. Well, I'm excited to show you today that you can actually use code search in your own projects today, because we're announcing a public preview of our code search feature. So I'll show you exactly how that feature works. I can return back over to Visual Studio, and using this little text box up here, simply paste in the string that I'm interested in. We immediately return for you a list of different files that have that string in it. On the left-hand side, you might notice that there's several different repos in which this actually appears. I can actually filter this so that I can see exactly what I'm focused on, or broaden my search if I didn't find what I was looking for. As I can see very quickly, what I'm looking for here is the file called clinics.js. Now, Brian has gone ahead and assigned that work item to me. So what I want to be able to do is I need to go fix that code. If you guys are using Git, chances are you're using a lot of different Git workflows. And one of them says you should do all of your development in your own branch so that you don't pollute the main branch. And then when we want to, we'll merge your changes into the main branch. So what we're going to do here is directly from this item, I can actually go create that new branch. So I'm going to go ahead and say Donovan crash fix. And then I'm going to go ahead and create this branch. Creating this branch gives me my own isolated area where I can go and perform my particular fixes. Now, there's lots of great IDEs out there. I'm partial. I've been using Visual Studio since version 1.5.2. I've literally grown up inside that environment. But others have used different technologies. We have great plugins for Eclipse, and we also have integration with IntelliJ. So I'm going to use IntelliJ today just so that I can show you the improvements that we've made in that integration that we have between our two products. So what I need to do first is basically fetch those repos from Visual Studio Team Services and bring them down into my environment. So we have this convenient little button here, and it's a tiny button. Sorry you can't see that. But what this button is going to do is it's going to go fetch for me the changes and then bring them down into my environment. Once that fetch is successful, what I can actually do then is use this very convenient little area here and check out that branch that I just created in Visual Studio Team Services. So now that I have this branch checked out here, this branch already exists, so let's go ahead and see if I can get this one to work here. Call it fixes. I can now make that change here on my local environment. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and make that fix here. It's not very difficult to fix. Great for demo work. And what I'm going to do now is I'm simply going to go ahead and commit this change to my local repo. Now, the team that I work on, we insist that we use another familiar Git workflow of insisting that a pull request be initiated before you can actually merge your changes back into master. A pull request allows us to have an isolated area where, for example, Brian could go and review my changes. We can even trigger an automated build from that so that we know that the code is good before we try to merge it into our branch. So what I can do directly from IntelliJ is simply click this other button and actually initiate the creation of my pull request directly from inside of the IDE. I don't have to jump out of it, go to the web browser, find my code, and then try to create a pull request. So what I'm going to do now is go ahead and initiate that pull request. And what it's going to do is actually provide me a link that will take me directly back to Visual Studio Team Services so that I can see the pull request that we just created. The pull request was already configured to do a build. So if you look up in the right-hand corner up there, you see this little working icon? It's building my changes on our build server to make sure that there's no mistakes. It already did merge detection to make sure that my changes weren't going to have merge conflicts inside of the master branch. And it's already assigned Brian as the approver for this particular pull request. So Brian's going to have to go in and give his blessing before it gets merged into master. He can go back and he can look at the files that I changed, see exactly what I modified there. If you want to have a conversation, you can even add comments about what I made, the changes that I made, and we can go back and forth and have a dialogue on why I made these changes, and all this information is stored for us. You can go back in and actually look at the commits that I made to go back in and fix that particular bug, and any work items that I might have been working on as I was trying to fix this particular bug. So now that I've done that, once this is actually integrated into our master branch, we can then finally go off and release it. So Brian's going to come back, and he's going to show you exactly how we release that. Thank you so much. Thanks. Guys, it has been an honor speaking to you. Thank you so much. Good night.
All right. So Scott mentioned earlier that we're announcing today a public preview of the next version of our release management service. Donovan has showed you, or throughout Scott's talk and mine, we've showed you how you can create a great DevOps experience for devices. And Scott showed you how you can publish your device apps into the Hockey App Store to beta testers, collect feedback. Donovan showed you how you could get crash reports and sort of iterate with those customers, with your beta testers, before you deliver it out to your broad customer base. Make sure you're not shipping regressions out to everybody. Well, the fix you may have noticed that Donovan just made was in fact not a device fix. Although the bug was found on a device, it was actually a bug in the back end is where the problem was. So I need a similar kind of capability to stage out my back end releases. I don't want to deploy it out to all my servers and have all of my customers get some regression that I introduced. So the new release management capability allows me to create a set of environments and stage my releases through them. So I've got my release pipeline for this has a dev and a QA environment. They allow me to use all of the same tasks that I use in my build pipeline, but I might spend more time doing validation in my release pipeline than I do in my CI pipeline. For example, I might do cloud load testing. So we've got a cloud load testing task that I want to do in my QA environment and validate that the changes that I've made, they're reliable, they scale, they perform well, etc. So I can go over to load test, and I can see all the load test runs that I've done. I can drill into them and see that the changes have gone through a load test that did about 450,000 requests. I can look at the trend over time on response time. I can see there were no failed requests. And I can say, yep, that looks good. I can sign off on that release to go into production. Now, another thing you may not have noticed is that those tests that I just looked at were JMeter tests. This is another new feature we're adding to our load testing capability, is you can continue to use your Visual Studio load tests that we support, but if you're, say, a Java user and you've been using JMeter, you can also now just import directly your JMeter tests into Visual Studio Team Services and run them as part of your release pipeline. All right. So Donovan showed you how in Hockey App for your devices, you can look at the crashes that your users are experiencing, trace it all the way down to stack traces. Again, you need the exact same capabilities for your server-side applications, and that's where Application Insights come in. So here I've got my dashboard for Application Insights up that allows me to start at my app, drill into failures, look at what failures I'm getting the most common occurrences of. I can also drill all the way down to the stack trace, dependent services that I'm calling, and errors I'm getting from dependent services. So Application Insights gives you that same kind of traceability and that ability to see what's happening to your application in production, trace it back to code, and fix those issues. All right. So what we've showed you today is how Visual Studio Team Services enables you to create a really nice DevOps process by building on Team Services with a bunch of extensions that are tuned to fit the kind of development that you do. It creates a great experience both for devices and for services. I encourage you to go try it out. Go to visualstudio.com. You can download a version of Visual Studio for free. You can also sign up for a Visual Studio Team Services account for free. Thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of your day.